You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, Small Screen Heroes.
Oh, Small Screen Heroes, it was on this week. Gonna talk fucking Marvel and DC. You can rely on Batch and
Logan.
You can rely on Batch and
Logan.
Small Screen Heroes, Supergirl and Flash, Doctor Who, Preacher, Arrow, Walking Dead. You know you're gonna love this podcast, Small Screen Heroes.
There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people
in 90 movies
to see if we could become something more. So when they needed us, we could fight the battles.
For Asgard!
With MoviePass!
Boner! Boner! Boner!
In time, you will know what it's Cable. Like to lose.
Not yet.
So
the deal hasn't gone through.
Right, yet to fail all the
Spidey
same.
Sense.
Dread it. Run from it. Destiny still arrives.
To infinity and beyond.
With Bruce Willis.
Evacuate the city.
Shiny.
Engage our defenses.
Sorry, I ruined your Black Panther party.
This man a shield.
So pretty.
Fun isn't something one considers when balancing the universe.
Especially watching a Justice League movie.
But this does put a smile on my face.
Let's put a smile on
and a bulge in my pants. Baba Dick!
Excelsior!
You cocksuckers!
We're the freaking Guardians of the Galaxy, you bitch.
God damn, Logan. Welcome to Small Screen Heroes, your one-stop shop at bingemedia.net for everything comic book culture. You know we had to lead with this trailer. I am Batch. I'm here with my main web crawler, Logan.
What's up, everybody?
Holy shit, man. Now that's a fucking trailer.
That is a fucking trailer. That was amazing. I watched it like 13,000 goddamn times.
You're excited. Feel these nipples.
I have nipples. Brad, can you milk me? What?
I'm going to keep dropping that until it actually becomes a drop in the fucking bench cast. So. Timestamp that, Logan.
What is that for? I don't timestamp this show. This show's only an hour. Everybody can find their way around this show.
Yeah. That's from Basketball.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
That's Bob Costas. So, yeah. So, if you didn't know what that was, the trailer for Avengers: Infinity War Part One dropped this week, and everyone lost their goddamn minds.
The majority of people lost their goddamn minds. I'm sure there's people that are like, "Oh well, I don't know about this movie because I don't know about it."
Zack Snyder should have directed this movie. I want to see his director cut on Justice League. It's much better than Joss Whedon's.
Yeah, but for the people that actually like movies that are good,
Marvel. That should be their tagline.
Yeah.
Marvel for comic movies that are actually good,
that are pretty good, and then
mostly.
Thor: The Dark World. this trailer dropped Wednesday at a random time. It wasn't attached to really any sort of big picture, like, I don't know, The Last Jedi, which I thought would have been, you know, what would have been attached to. But no, it just dropped randomly yesterday, and I started my lunch break at 10:30, and I sat down. I plugged my headphones into my iPhone, and I just sat there, and I got chills. I might have started crying, and no, I'm just kidding.
And then you had to change your pants.
And then I had to change my pants, and that would have not been good because I work in an institution it's not appropriate for.
No.
But so many gold shots in this trailer. Oh. I don't know how they're going to juggle all these characters, let alone, you know, the person that they've quietly built up for 15,000 movies with Thanos.
Yes. He's finally here, and he's a little pale, but I don't give a shit.
You know what? He's, you know, he'll get a tan on Earth, I'm sure. But, yeah, you got Iron Man, you got Doctor Strange, you got Bearded Captain America, you got Blonde Black Widow, you have Black Panther, you have the Guardians of the... You have everybody in this fucking movie that has been in any sort of Marvel Cinematic Universe. You get a brief shot of Loki... I don't know how they're going to balance all these characters, but by God, I can't wait. This is the culmination of shit that I've been waiting for since Iron Man 1.
I had a theory that he stole that Tesseract, and well, obviously, as we saw in the trailer, he did.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of, I guess, goes back to being a bad guy after kind of his good graces in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
But as the best Marvel villain in the whole MCU, it'll be cool to see Loki kind of play at being a bad guy again.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. Like, my interest is peaked after this trailer. I cannot wait to see this. This is night one.
But I'm going to pull a Kupka. I don't need to see another trailer. I don't want to. I'm done. I mean, I would have been in the seat come May 4th anyway. You know, this trailer was amazing, but I didn't need it because I knew I was going to be there. And it's just crazy to see that we've come so far. It's just not what the movies have brought us, but it's still fucking phenomenal to see Spider-Man. You know, that gets my nerd boner really big. What?
Yes. Oh,
Spider costume, which I kind of wish they left for the actual movie, but you know, just to see it in its glory is phenomenal. And I fanboy glee hit me hard when that suit showed up in the end of Homecoming.
I think it shows up. I think it looks all right.
Yeah. I'm wondering how much of a part of this movie, you know, Spider-Man / Peter Parker will play, because he was a very minor part in Civil War. So I don't know how much someone was allowing Marvel to kind of, but I know he's going to be a bigger character post Infinity War. So I think that they're trying to make him more of a focal point of these films.
It's going to be interesting to see how they juggle that big of a cast, because yeah, every single person is going to have their moments.
It's surprising Marvel didn't go bankrupt, like, supporting the cast of this movie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Robert Downey Jr. gets, like, $50,000 per, like, minute that he's on screen, and all he has to do is wear a helmet.
Yeah. Well, didn't they say, like, word broke this week that apparently after the second Infinity War movie, it's going to be almost like an ending? So whatever movies they make past that, I can see them then recasting Iron Man, recasting Captain America...
Yeah, I mean, or at least for the time being, giving somebody else the Captain America shoes, like Falcon or Bucky, because I feel that they need to kind of allow the deaths of the characters, if they're going to die, which I do hope happens in these movies, because I feel like Marvel's been really playing it safe with the characters, and I feel that these movies really have to create some casualties. But I do think that they need to allow there to be time between recasting Iron Man and or whoever else that they decide to kill off. I'm just saying Iron Man is a hypothetical.
Well, I can see them ending like the first movie on a cliffhanger where Thanos kills everybody because he gets all 6 gems. And then they can pick up the second one with them fighting back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just can't wait for May. And it was a trailer. Go ahead.
The only way this movie could get any better, and I know it will never happen, but the fanboy in me, during the big climactic scene, the big battle at the end of the second movie, you see Doctor Strange go to get some, disappear halfway through the movie to get reinforcements, and then he comes back with Wolverine, Hugh Jackman, the X-Men, Deadpool, the Fantastic Four, because the universe will be fixed as part of the Infinity War.
Yeah. And moving on. But I mean, at that point, and if the deal with Disney and 20th Century Fox went through, we would get Jackman back, because yes. He said the only way he would return would be if it was the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which would be phenomenal. And that's the thing about the MCU, is that the X-Men really never played around with the ideas in the movies, but like, you have multidimensional stuff. Mm-hmm. So it could be Wolverine from an alternate timeline or something.
Or Cap gets his hands on the gauntlet and he fixes the universe that's broken.
Or that's true too. There's so many things that they can do now. They have all this playing field.
And guaranteed Hugh Jackman would wear the yellow spandex if he was an Avenger.
I don't know if it would be like a kind of play on the costume. I don't feel like it's going to be straight up.
Well, we know at the end of the Wolverine, he has the costume.
Right.
So he has to put the fucking thing on already.
Yeah. But brown and yellow, not blue and yellow, right? It was brown and yellow in Wolverine, correct? In the drawer? It's in the drawer.
Yeah, it was the second Wolverine costume, but I want to see him the yellow and the blue.
Okay.
That would be dope as fuck.
Yeah. And then, if you know what would be even better, if he comes through the portal and it's just the X-Men theme song from the cartoon, like, you would just, everybody would die.
Yes.
And
then Ryan Reynolds just walked by in the background and makes himself a sandwich as Deadpool. Doesn't really get in the fight, but he's just there.
No. But that's, I feel like he would serve as a brief comedic relief, because a lot of people would be concerned about how they would portray that character correctly in the MCU without losing the... I mean, there's no way, if Disney got the rights, that they would allow the R-rated Deadpool to continue. So he'd be just pure like comedic fodder in a slapsticky kind of way.
Well, just have him beeped every time he swears in the movie.
That's true.
Then play on that.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, amazing trailer. 2.5 minutes of just pure, like, it was really well cut. Some scenes could have been edited out. I think they showed a little too much, like Black Panther saying, "Get this man a shield." Like, that would have been a line better suited for the actual final project, just to kind of like, oh yeah, like the fist pump moment.
Well, I think that was Marvel going, "Hey, we got to get Black Panther movie coming out real soon. Here's this guy in the trailer. Go see that one."
Yeah. Yeah, but they could have just shown him like at the front of like the army or whatever he has in Wakanda. And then this is me just being me, but there was a little bit too much Spider-Man. I would have left like liked a little bit less. I thought that the hair raising up spider sense was really cool. It's nice to see that it's finally made an appearance in the movies.
Do his pubes do that too?
Jury's out. But no, it's going to be a phenomenal ride, and I can't wait. I'm really looking for, I mean, between this and Incredibles 2 coming out like back to back, I'm really, my superhero meter is at full blast. Then there was Justice League. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, before we get into the dumpster fire 2.0 that was Justice League, hashtag dumpster fire 2.0. The Incredibles. The teaser to that dropped.
It did, and I think it dropped a couple days before its major release pre-Coco, which I saw on opening day. Mm-hmm. So I waited with bated breath, and I just got a little scene of Jack-Jack and Mr. Incredible interacting, and Jack-Jack's powers going off, and there was nothing about it that could possibly in the movie. They discovered, you know, they discussed this on the binge cast. But for me, it was glee-inducing all the same, because I've been waiting for this goddamn movie for, what is it? It came out in 2004, so we're looking at...
It's time that we got a decent sequel for it.
So fuck you, Emo Kev. I don't care. I can't wait for this goddamn movie. The only concern that I have is it's being released in this threshold of superhero films, like ad nausea, because right now it's superhero movies are at every corner. So for them to release this, they're really going to have to up the game of what can they bring to the table that hasn't already been done.
It's the Fantastic Four movie we're never going to get. That's what it should be.
We already got it. It was The Incredibles 1, so I'm just hoping that they give us more of the same, because every Fantastic Four movie since the original was a failure. Mm-hmm. The best parts of those movies were, I mean, Chris Evans as the Human Torch. And, I mean, teach their own on this, because maybe there's going to be some people who disagree, but like my favorite parts of those movies was the Human Torch and the Thing.
Yeah, big time.
So... And then, you know, everybody was like super pissed because Galactus was a cloud in the second one.
A fart cloud, to be more detailed.
Silver Surfer was kind of crappy, but I guess he looked cool.
At least he looked like the Silver Surfer. He wasn't wearing Bermuda shorts and a sombrero.
Yeah. But yeah, The Incredibles 2, I'm super pumped. I can't wait. So to have that, so Infinity War in May, Incredibles in June, I'm super stoked. Back to back, Disney's just making my wallet cry.
Nice. So from something that you're looking forward to now, you've seen Justice League. I have yet to see this film. I just haven't fit it in the time. And again, I'm kind of dreading it because I know exactly what it's going to be. I know I'm going to hate this fucking movie because it's going to annoy the fucking shit out of me. I want to like this movie. I want to support DC. But I've said before, like on this program, I cannot accept Ezra Miller as the Flash. And I hear from a lot of the reviews from Flash fans, that's the weakest part of this movie.
Yeah, I don't have any knowledge of the Flash as a character. I know that you are somebody who's dedicated to the TV show. I know you read the comics. I mean, you're back in the day, your MFC picture was the Flash for the longest time. So I know that like you are indebted to this character.
He's
you
my
love
boy.
The character. Yeah. So for me to, you know, stake any claim on it, I can't. That's all you. I do like Ezra Miller. I thought he was funny. I don't think that they really let his character breathe as far as an arc or anything like that. I thought the costume was absolutely dreadful. I can't stand it.
Looked like a fire hydrant.
It looked like a fire hydrant that got mixed up like with a mesh bag. For me personally, I like when he was standing still, I was just like, please just move, just run somewhere. His running was really awkward. There's a scene towards the end of the film, post credits, where he does something that I actually kind of enjoyed.
Against Superman in the post credits.
Okay, you haven't seen it, so but no, that was a cool moment. That was a moment that I actually really liked.
That is a classic moment that I'm kind of cool. Yeah. I'm kind of glad that they actually put it in as a post credits scene because it is something fun.
Mm. But for me personally, like the character of the Flash was he is what Spider-Man was in Civil War. He's the teenager, the young kid who's just like so overwhelmed and happy to be part of a squad or a league or a team, if you will.
That's not Barry Allen at all.
Yeah. You know, he's got dad issues. His dad's in prison. And so, you know, just pure superhero origin story.
Yeah.
You know, he was fine. I mean, I liked him. I laughed at some of his jokes. There's a scene in the movie that he's running around Superman, and I don't know how much you said spoiler cast before we went on air, so...
Small Screen Heroes is a spoiler-free zone, so you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, there's a scene in the movie where it's less more emphasis on the Flash and more on Superman, where they raise him from the dead, and then Superman's fighting all the members of the Justice League, and then Barry Allen's or the Flash is racing around Superman, and Superman, like, his eyes shift to see like the Flash running around him. It's a super cool fucking moment in a movie that has really no super cool fucking moments. You know, so the Flash and then Aquaman I liked, but at the same time he doesn't really offer anything besides Jason Momoa being cool.
So he's Aquabro.
He's Aquabro. That's the terminology I've heard on on social media and other podcasts. He's Aqua Bro. He's, hey, look at me. I drink. I'm cool. I like to fight. I am Jason Momoa, so I'm fucking ripped. My shirt's off a lot. Westeros. I don't know.
How is the underwater stuff? Was there
it's okay. It's no, it's probably like 5 minutes. It's all right. It's not. I mean, for me personally, I would probably see an Aquaman movie, but I think at the same time, as far as where the CGI is concerned, it's very CGI-ish. You know, there's nothing that this movie brings new to the table. So even the fact that Aquaman kind of bringing a new dynamic to the superhero elements of movies, where he's like really good at swimming underwater and, hey, I hear you talk to fish, which never happens, which kind of would have been a cool thing to see or a funny thing to see, because it's a callback to something that Bruce said in the trailer and in the movie. There's like one quick scene in the underwater. Amber Heard shows up. She looks great, but that's probably just me talking about something else. But, you know, that's okay. I like Wonder Woman. I like Gal Gadot. I like the movie a lot. I definitely think that's my favorite of the DCEU films.
Yeah,
so
I loved
that's
Wonder
just...
Woman to pieces. And I admit I was wrong about Gal Gadot. I did not like her at first, but she won me over with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So I knew she was going to be really strong in this film. I like Affleck as Batman. I just wish the script was better and Zack Snyder had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, I mean, but the problem with I kind of understand why people are calling out for the director's cut of the film, because you can tell it's very cut and paste of Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon. It's really, you know, it's not so much, how do I put it? So like there's certain elements of it, like you can tell one person did one thing and one person did another thing. It'd be nice to see a clearer vision, whether people want to see that or not, because of the outlash against Batman v Superman, which I will admit wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. But I can also say the same thing for this movie. And to me, that's not a good sign when I'm just like, oh yeah, it's not as bad as I could be, or it wasn't as bad as this movie in the same library of films that are, you know, so like this movie is better than Suicide Squad, but that's not saying much.
You see, I liked Suicide Squad for what it was.
Yeah. I mean, but like, so going back to like, you didn't like Batman v Superman. I don't remember, but
no.
Yeah. To me, like, I'm like, well, it's better than Batman v Superman, but that's not really a bar that's hard to set.
I like Batman and Robin better than I like Batman v Superman.
Okay. I mean, that movie has Mr. Freeze. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze. So clearly it's a winner.
Batman and Robin, at least it's a true Batman movie because it stays true to itself and knows exactly what it is.
Yes, this is, you can't, no, you're not wrong. Hell, I mean, I'm a person who liked Batman Forever probably more than the majority of the DCEU. Mm-hmm. Just going back to the movie, so Cyborg's not bad, he's cool. I guess. I don't know.
He says booyah here, so that's...
He says booyah.
That's the only thing Cyborg has to do in this movie.
My biggest takeaway from this movie, and it's something that's crazy, besides the CGI mustache on Superman,
yeah,
or non-mustache,
like,
or, you know, whatever, lack
isn't
thereof.
Isn't as distracting as everyone says it is.
Listen, whoever in the binge community says that this thing is... You can't see it, you're wrong. Because it's the first scene of the movie is Superman is on a kid's cell phone and they're asking Superman questions, and it's clear. I leaned over to my friend. I was like, "What's wrong with his face?" And then he's like mustache gate, and then it like clicked in my head. I'm like, "Oh, that's right." It's if you're sitting in the right area or the wrong area of the theater, I guess you can't tell. But I was sitting dead center, so it's like my peripherals were not like jarring the image or whatever. I was staring straight ahead and I'm like, nope, I can tell that's, you had a mustache and now it's gone.
Mustache grate is hilarious in its own. Like, how petty can Paramount be? No, he's not allowed to shave the mustache, but you could put a fake mustache on him. Nope, not allowed.
Yeah. It's such a weird, it's for what? It was for a Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah. Of all things. Yeah.
I mean, Scientology can probably make his mustache go back faster, so just have Tom Cruise help you out.
I would have been cool if, like, Superman was rocking a goatee.
Yeah, because to me, what I've read is that, like, once he comes back to life, like, he had a beard. That would have been a cool aspect to see. Like, just let him rock a full beard.
He rocked a mullet for, like, 2 years when he came back from the dead in the comics.
So I don't know if people would be up in arms. It's like, that's not really Superman, because I feel like for general audiences, they need to see that character as like the slick hair, the yellow, the blue, and the red. That's what general audiences see like Superman as. Now,
I want his underwear back. Shut up, Art.
For somebody who does not like the character of Superman for reasons that I'm not going to get into.
Oh, get into it.
I like my villains flawed. Not villains. I like my heroes flawed. That's probably why I'm more of a Marvel guy. And Superman to me, just, I respect the character. I just don't like the character. I don't know if that works in context.
No, I hear you.
But for me, I just feel that I understand he's a symbol, not just for, you know, the people who actually are in the comic book, but for, you know, individuals that are real, you know, people that we know, people that we don't know. But, you know, Superman tattoos and just, you know, Superman stickers on cars. I get it. You know, he's the Jesus of the comic book world, and he stands for the everything that is good in the world and more. And I get that. I just don't like a character who is pretty much superhuman with one fatal flaw, and that's a fucking green rock. Now, I understand that there's comics out there that if I read them, maybe it will change my mind, like All-Star Superman. I tried it. I couldn't get into it. I don't know if it's just my mind's not open to the idea of trying to give this character time that I just didn't really get into. And but for all that it's worth, and regardless of the CGI mustache, my favorite part of this movie, or maybe even my favorite character in this movie, was Superman. And it's not just for the matter of when he's like a badass and looking at the Flash while he's running around him. It's when they finally make him like wake up and, you know, he sees Lois. And
who Martha, fucking did they yell Martha?
No, they should have. It would have been a great callback to one of the best parts of Batman v Superman, sarcasm intended.
How tremendous would that would have been if like Batman goes, "Here, I'm going to try something." Martha didn't work.
I mean, I'm sure people would have been up in arms about that. But when he finally shows up to fight Steppenwolf, who just looks fucking awful.
I heard he's a terrible villain in this movie.
He's not even just a terrible villain. He's terrible to look at because the CGI is so grating and just in your face.
Like, why wouldn't they give us Kalibak or Desaad if they're going to give us like one of those kind of villains with to lead to Darkseid?
Or I've heard other place people just saying, give us somebody who can kind of manipulate elements or has a, like, I'm not saying that he has to come back because he was in Batman v Superman, but like somebody like Lex Luthor who would be able to kind of be the mind operator of something like larger than life, if you will. But going back,
I would have been happy with Starro of all fucking people. Just put Starfish on everybody's faces.
But when Superman shows up to battle, he kind of has this characteristic about him that's, oh, wait a minute. This is what Superman's supposed to be. He's smiling and he's funny and he's corny and he's like, I don't know if those words are best used to describe what I'm trying to get across, but he felt like to me what the comic book character should be more than Man of Steel, which I didn't mind as a movie, don't get me wrong, but he was very broody and he was very like
mopey,
sad
and mopey emo Superman.
Yeah, he's mopey emo Superman. So for this character to kind of come back from the dead and just be like, oh hey, you know, like let's he was fun and he was colorful, and I feel like they actually gave him his costume some like pop. And then, you know, going back to the whole Flash race, I was like, oh wow, like that was a cool moment in a movie that needed more cool moments. And just ultimately, in pure Logan fashion, it was okay. That's all I can say about it. It wasn't dreadful. It wasn't spectacular. It was just, it just felt kind of there.
Yeah. So give it a rating.
I am probably 6 Batman nipples on 10.
Okay, I thought the grading scale would be more of a 6 CGI'd Superman mustaches out of 10.
That's fine.
Yeah. So going from the Justice League movie to what I feel was a more accurate representation of what the DC universe should be, we had this week the crossover event for this year for all the DC CW shows, Crisis on Earth X. 4-part crossover with starting with Supergirl, then Arrow, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow. Oh man, this was like a ton of fucking fun. The whole premise was Barry and Iris were finally going to get married. So this was the wedding of the Flash and the love of his life. So everyone's coming over. Supergirl's over from her Earth. The Legends are coming back from time just to get the wedding. And then Nazis from an evil Earth invade. So it's evil Nazi version of Green Arrow and Supergirl. And we've got the reverse flashback. And it's just like a really fun 4-part event.
Nice.
A lot of good moments. A lot of bad CGI. I think they kind of...
It can't be any worse than Justice League.
Oh, like you could tell like as like the episodes went on, the budget got smaller and smaller. So some of the crowd shots, like because at one point, there's so many superheroes in the CW-verse. Like it's like 10 to 15, like one of those shots where they're all walking towards the camera. And then Supergirl flies into the background and like, ooh, that's like a bad cutscene CGI. But it was good for what it was. A lot of laughs. Everyone had their moment on each of the 4 shows. We had Captain Cold back for the last time. Guy from Prison Break, Wentworth Miller, said that he's hanging up the character. So kind of a fitting send-off with him making a last appearance. But very, very cool. I definitely recommend. I know you don't watch the DC CW shows, but I'd recommend watching all 4 of those episodes.
Okay. Yeah, I've been told that I need to watch The Flash.
Watch The Flash at the very least.
Yeah, because I was told by one of my friends that if Spider-Man was on a TV show, it would be kind of like that. I don't know if...
Yeah, very much. That... Like, TV Flash has a very much Peter Parker kind of likable vibe.
Cool.
Like, he doesn't need to bring the jokes. He's not someone who just wants friends.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll fit it in with all the other 13,000 superhero TV shows.
Oh, dude, like, I'm glad I got you as a regular co-host on this thing so we can start dividing them up.
Yeah, right? It's like, you do DC, I'll stay with Marvel, and then maybe we'll cross over, but I'll still stay with Marvel.
Yeah, and neither of us is watching The Walking Dead, so fuck that show.
No, fuck that show up the ass.
Yes. In other Marvel shows, you've been keeping up with The Gifted, right?
I have. I haven't made it that far since our last episode, which was last month. Yes. But I watched 2 more episodes. And then that's... So I think I have like 4 left. So yeah, I watched 2 episodes. I feel like I missed an episode because I recorded them on my DVR. And then I watched the first 2. And then I let the other like few like start piling up. And then I watched... too recently, and I felt like I gapped an episode because I feel that something happened in between the 2 episodes, and I was like, that I didn't see any of that, so I'm just working with what I have. Mm-hmm. Laser Moreno is still, you know, a focal point. What happened recently? So the dad of the 2 kids that are mutants, he's kind of like involved with the underground and the mutants, and you know, they bring him to the underground, and then they have, you know, one of the guys come like, oh, he's, you know, he's not a good guy. He's not one of us. He's one of them. And he was working for Sentinel Service, and I was like, listen, fake Dave Grohl. Cause this guy was like, he looked like Dave Grohl. And, you know, so he has to prove himself. And then there's the kids are doing stuff to help the mutants and whatever. But I'll admit the first 2 episodes that I watched of the series were really good, and then I think that it's just slowly starting to become I wouldn't say formulaic, but it's just not something that I'm paying attention to. I'm more looking at my phone.
Yeah, whereas I was like that way as well. I like the first few episodes, but they need to have like a better bad guy than Sentinel Services.
Yeah, and you know, he's kind of pissed off because there was some sort of attack like that killed his daughter, so it's kind of like his vendetta against the mutants, and then they like clear his memory so he thinks his daughter's still alive, and it's just this, that's where I left off. And just I don't know if it's just the awful, I mean, we want to talk, I feel like the theme of this episode is going to be awful CGI, but I feel like it got worse since the beginning. I don't know. I guess that's not something I should really take away because it should be more about the characters and not the effects. But I mean, there's nobody that I can really anchor to as far as, you know, there's so many, they're juggling so many people. There's Porto Girl and there's Laser Moreno and the dad and the mom and the family.
Is it going to get to the point where when Bubble Wrap Shield Chick goes to use her power, she just sticks her hand off camera? That she's using them?
Yeah, it's possible. But I mean, I feel like there's been elements of that already. Like there's stuff happening that it's just, you know, it's Fox, so they got to get away with what they can. Mm-hmm. It's reaching, it's quickly reaching tap out territory. I feel that, you know, the best X-Men show so far still is Legion, which I don't know coming back.
But loved it.
Yeah.
It is coming
Jim
back.
Jim bought it, but that's okay.
It's they said the second season is going to be even crazier than the first. I don't know which how that's possible. But
I don't know how that's possible. And that's the thing, because Legion, as much as it didn't really involve so much powers and visual effects, it just got in your brain and it did this cool thing where it was so visually arresting that it was like you might have not even known what was going on, but you were so intrigued by what you saw. And that's a cool kind of concept. And I think Dan Stevens was phenomenal in it. And Aubrey Plaza, who, you know, I crushed on in Parks and Rec, fucking terrified me during that show. And I thought she was phenomenal. I thought that every person in that show was great. And it would just be kind of cool to see it tie further into the X-Men universe. But I mean, it'll probably be somewhere along the lines of what The Gift They Gave Us was like, hey, these characters that you may know about, but don't really know about or something or other, like they're the kind of C-level mutants. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but The Gifted as of now is kind of reaching its peak with me. All right. Already reaches, but
as long as we get more Jermaine Clement as Shadow King in that second season, I'll be happy. They can do literally anything, and I'll watch that fucking show.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll be definitely back for that. But as far as X-Men shows are concerned, The Gifted is not, it's not as good as it could be.
I think The Inhumans is finished for the season.
That's good. Great. Wonderful.
I didn't even bother past the first episode.
I would rather watch Justice League again than the first episode of The Inhumans.
But the good news is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back.
That's true.
And they're going to be in space.
Nice.
Because that's the one thing they haven't done on that show yet. So that was the cliffhanger of last season, is they all woke up on a spaceship. So we'll see how that goes.
You know, in the long-running franchises of cinema, those are the best movies, like Leprechaun in Space and Jason in Space. So I'm sure Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. knows exactly what it's doing.
I wish we could get a Rocket Raccoon, Agent Coulson team-up.
Cool. That'd be really cool. But then he'd go fibbing to the Avengers that not fibbing, but like he'd go like tattletaling to the Avengers that Coulson's alive.
That would just be a great scene for like Nick Fury to try and explain it.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get that in Infinity War. That's something that's, well, but the Marvel and the Marvel TV shows and the Marvel Cinematic Universe don't really connect.
Coulson comes to Tony Stark's rescue. That'd be a huge fucking moment.
That'd be a huge moment, yeah.
Yeah. Tony goes, Coulson, you're alive. Yeah. I've been alive for a while, Tony.
Yeah, I've been alive for 5 seasons.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Is it 5 seasons now?
Yeah, I think it's 5 seasons now.
Jesus. Wow.
Such a good show. You know what else is a good show? How's that for a segue? The Punisher. Nice.
Oh, man. Yeah, The Punisher dropped the same day as Justice League. Smart move on Marvel's part.
Very smart move.
You know, go out to the movies, you know, slap down $12 on a mediocre movie when you can stay at home and watch a show that's, I don't want to say practically free, but you spend $8 mm-hmm. and you can binge in one night. So yeah, The Punisher, who showed up in Daredevil season 2, Netflix, was easily the best part of that season.
Oh, before we get into this, I'm finally making my way through The Defenders with my chick, because we finally got through Iron Fist, because she wanted to watch all of them in order. Iron Fist.
God bless you.
Yes. The things I do for this show. Iron Fist is what it is. I think everyone feels the same way about Iron Fist. Defenders, like, same way.
Yeah.
But they've really they've turned it up with The Punisher.
Yeah, I didn't watch Iron Fist. I didn't finish The Defenders. So this was like my saving grace of Marvel Netflix TV shows. And I'm four episodes in, and I'm digging it. The first episode is still the strongest. I think that they really showcase what The Punisher's all about.
Yes.
Fucking, you know, throws sledgehammers at fucking dudes and throws them in a cement mixer, which is phenomenal.
Nobody breaks a wall down with a sledgehammer like Frank Castle.
No. There's a scene, there's a song in the first episode that's like playing as he's throwing guys in the cement mixer, which is a really weird choice. It's like spoken Metallica. It's not Metallica, but it sounds like spoken Metallica. Mm-hmm. And it's weird, but whoever decided to cast John Bernthal as this character, and I don't know much about The Punisher, but this is somebody who loves the Thomas Jane movie.
Yeah.
I thought he's a phenomenal choice. He really has the intensity, and he can also be very dramatic and sympathetic as well as empathetic for the character. So, you know, you have the first episode where he kind of just throws down and fucking just gives dudes their shit.
Then Michael Corleone, just when I'm out, they pulled me back in.
Yeah. And then the second through fourth episode, he's kind of working with this underground dude that's more, I guess, it's kind of political.
Yeah, Micro.
Yeah.
Who's from the comics, so, Microchip, who's always his buddy, his guy, his hacker, etc.
No, okay, so when I was watching the Punisher TV show, I was thinking back to the Spider-Man animated series. And did you watch the 90s one?
Yeah.
So the Punisher showed up on that one. Who was the dude in the van that helped him out? Do you know?
I think that was Microchip, same dude.
That's what I thought. Okay. So I was like drawing parallels, like, oh, maybe it's that guy. So I'm like, yes.
Wayne Knight played him in the Punisher Warzone movie.
Newman?
Yeah. Have you ever seen that one, The Punisher Warzone?
No.
It was like a hard right-hand swing, because I like the Thomas Jane Punisher movie too, but my biggest gripe about that one is he never really killed anybody. Like, the Punisher, like, never... He didn't go full tilt Frank Castle rampage in that movie. The Punisher Warzone is 90 minutes of gory, violent Punisher rampage.
And who played Punisher in that movie?
Oh, the guy that was Volstagg in the Thor movies.
Look this up. Punisher Warzone.
So he's like, that's fun trivia. He's another actor that's played two Marvel characters in two different films. Ray Wise, was it? Is it Ray Wise?
Ray Stevenson.
Ray Stevenson, that's who it is. That movie has one of the greatest kills I've ever seen in a movie, where you just see some, like, a gang of parkour guys that are just jumping from building to building, and one does like this flip in the middle of the air, and then you just see this rocket, like heat-seeking rocket, come and just, he explodes in midair, the camera pans over, and there's Frank with a rocket launcher.
I think I'll watch this. It's only 90 minutes.
It's bad, but yeah. Good bad.
Well, I mean, but like the Punisher, the Thomas Jane one, it's not a, I mean, I like it. It's not a, I don't think it's a good movie. Yeah. I just feel like it's a kind of like a guilty pleasure. Like, I love when he just fucking takes dudes out with a bow and arrow. And I love how he just drags Scientology Scientology through a parking lot on fire. You know, I mean, this is these were the movies that, I mean, this came out the same year as Iron Man. So this was like really before the superhero genre took off.
Yeah, it's very much influenced by Garth Ennis's run on Punisher. So a little bit of, a lot of dark humor, very violent, a little gore. There's some gore in there, but he just kicks ass for like 90 minutes.
Yeah. Nice.
And the villain, Jigsaw, is it Jigsaw?
No, you're right. Jigsaw, yeah. Dominic West.
Yeah, Jigsaw is the big bad in that, so that's pretty cool.
Nice.
I like Dominic West in anything, so.
Nice. So yeah, the Netflix series, I'm four episodes in. I'm digging it. It kind of quiets down a little bit after the first episode, which I feel that people have kind of been annoyed about because they're expecting full-blown violence every episode, but I feel like you'll get tired of that pretty quickly.
Yeah, they just want him to put the skull back on and just kill people. Well, you gotta have some down moments before you get your high moments.
Yeah. And I think Kupka said on the binge group that like the last episodes of the season are really great. So I'm getting there. It's just tough. I'm trying to balance all these fucking shows.
The best thing I liked about those first four episodes, no goddamn hand, no fucking ninjas.
No.
Enough already.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's good because it separates himself from the other series on Netflix because they're all intertwined in some way or another. You know, there's always fucking ninjas, and with Frank Castle, it's just thugs and just fucking killing, and that's great. You know, God bless America.
If they want to put
Canada, God bless Canada too.
God bless North America. fuck everybody else. Sorry, Nathan Reed, but that's how we roll here. If they want to put the Punisher in Avengers Infinite War Part 2, just him killing aliens, I'd be happy with that too.
Yeah,
just one scene, a cameo, where he's taking like with that sniper rifle, just pinging off aliens.
Yeah, it's just sad that these characters cannot have the full screen debut, because I mean they built this universe on the small screen, but they're not interconnected in any way. I guess was it legally wise? Like they're not.
It's Marvel films and Marvel TV aren't getting along.
Yeah.
So. This typical Disney bullshit.
Yeah, but it's good shit. Punisher's good shit.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to stick that out, and we'll give our further thoughts once we both finish that show. Now, before we wrap it up, let's do comic pick of the week. We are into probably one of the most anticipated events of the last few years. DC is more or less doing the sequel to Watchmen called the Doomsday Clock, or as I like to call it, the Doomsday Cock over here at Binge Media. Anything to get people on this site reading this book. So when DC decided to fix their horrible mistake of the New 52, they decided that it was Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen's fault that everything got fucked up. So at the end of Flashpoint, Barry Allen goes back in time, saves his mom, creates the Flashpoint timeline. When he fixes itself, everything is different because, as it turns out, Dr. Manhattan has taken 10 years from the DC Universe. So that's why everything's a little bit different from pre-Flashpoint continuity. Now we're finally getting around to see what that means. And because Batman's been looking into it for a while. Barry Allen the Flash has been looking into it. And now, with the first issue, Superman is going to start getting into it too. So ultimately, this is going to lead all the Watchmen characters crossing over into the DC Universe. I see probably permanently. And Alan Moore is probably like kicking over a table somewhere because this is the last thing that he wanted. But it is what it is. Really like the first issue. And we've got a new Rorschach, because obviously at the end of the first, at the end of Watchmen, Rorschach dies. So someone new in the Rorschach identity, we don't know who it is, but he has revealed himself as black, as a black guy. So I think that's kind of interesting. And we have Watchmen versions of the classic villains of Punch and Julie, because those were Charlton characters, just like the Watchmen characters were amalgams of classic Charlton characters like Blue Beetle and Captain Atom and all that kind of the Question, etc., etc. Now, are you a fan of Watchmen back in the from like the movie or the book?
Yeah, I read the comic before the movie came out. You know, I really liked it. I liked how it was kind of different. It was darker. I'm not a huge fan of the movie, but I do enjoy it for what it is. Never seen the director's cut. I thought it was interesting the change they made at the end with, you know, removing of the giant squid, but I kind of get it. It's kind of weird.
It makes more sense from a storytelling point of view. Like, if you have a walking atom bomb, like Dr. Manhattan, maybe that should be the one who's afraid of instead of a giant artificial alien squid monster that kills millions of people when it teleports into New York City.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is perfect fodder for somebody like Zack Snyder. I think that it's visually amazing, and I think the comic's kind of the same in its own way. I think that the slow motion kind of stuff works better in this kind of atmosphere than it did in, you know, any of the other DC movies. The opening credits of Watchmen are still some of my favorites. It's great. And the fact that they actually use the song that's in the comic is phenomenal. Some of the acting choices are a little bit interesting. I mean, I think Billy Crudup is phenomenal as Dr. Manhattan. What's her face is Silk Spectre is weird. Mm-hmm. The guy who plays Night Owl actually thinks pretty good, but I don't think he's old enough.
Yeah.
Jackie Earl Haley, I mean, fucking his Rorschach is phenomenal. Like, I can't. That's great.
Perfectly
cast. And then whoever plays, I'm going to butcher his name, but Ozymandias. Ozymandias? Yeah. Did I say it right?
Yeah, Ozymandias.
Nice.
Ozzy Osbourne Mandias.
Not as villainous as I would think that he would be. But
he never was in the book. That was the thing. Like, he was one of the good guys. He was the smartest guy in the room. And he wasn't the type to monologue about his plan. He just did it, then told you about it.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't read the comic in years. I mean, I'd have to go back to it to kind of draw a comparison to it. But yeah, I thought the movie was good. I mean, nothing great. I know it's divisive, but it seems to be that there was just a running theme for the DC movies in general. And I think that Zack Snyder is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. You know, most of his movies are seen, you know, you're on opposite, ends of what he, you know, puts out. So, like I said, never seen the director's cut. Definitely would check it out. I was kind of on the fence about Watchmen having spinoffs, if you will, post, you know, the actual original comic by Alan Moore, that it kind of had like a sequel and then it has this Doomsday Clock. But I guess the property is really popular enough to kind of create these new stories.
We all knew it was going to happen eventually. And I'm glad that it's Geoff Johns that is actually doing it.
Definitely.
I will read anything that he writes. I'm a Johns fanboy. Like, his run on The Flash is like my Bible when it comes to The Flash. So this first issue is really good. I love Gary Frank, who's doing the art. He's using a lot of the stuff that Dave Gibbons does in Watchmen in terms of the multiple panels for storytelling and stuff like that. We get to see Ozymandias back. He's dying. He's got a brain tumor. We got Rorschach. And it's going to be really interesting to see where this goes as a 12-issue miniseries and how it ultimately changes the DC universe. I really hope that it doesn't cross over in terms of like a million titles like DC likes to do. Keep this as like a self-contained 12-issue miniseries. This is all you need to read, and I'm totally happy with it.
Nice. Yeah. Cool.
So anything else you want to talk about, my friend, before we wrap this ship up?
Yeah, I just so this is kind of small screen hero-ish, but basically relating to the comic book world and the geek world is I actually DVR'd a while ago the first season of Con Man, starring Alan.
I've heard a lot about that.
Yeah, it stars Alan Tudyk as kind of a mock Wash actor, not washed up actor like Wash from Serenity and Firefly, who was on this canceled TV show that they wanted to make a movie about, and he doesn't want to do it. It seems that he's basically drawing all the parallels to his real life, except that he did make a movie called Serenity. Mm-hmm. But no, it's really good. It's funny. There's a lot of actors who show up. Seth Green shows up. Nolan North's in it. he's, you know, basically like a voice actor. So like how he is in real life. I'm trying to think who else was, Sean Astin shows up in it. So there's a lot of great cameos. It kind of pokes fun at the convention world while also embracing it, which is great. And then, you know, all the crazy conventions that you never hear about, but like, you know, that there's an underground world of it, like, a fake doll convention. Tudyk's great in it. He does a lot of voice, like voice acting on the show, because he's pretty famous with that. Thanks to the Disney movies. So it's good. You know, that's fun. And I mean, I like the guy a lot. You know, he's had a he's kind of like the side character in a lot of stuff. So it's kind of cool to see him as the leading man. Nathan Fillion's in it too. He shows up, and then there's a lot of Firefly/Serenity. Cameos, so that's cool to see. It's just a fun show. The episodes are brief. I think they're only about 11 to 12 minutes, but there's a whole season of like 24 episodes, so it was on Sci-Fi. Watched the whole thing.
Nice.
I think season 2 is running right now on Comic-Con HQ, but it's a fun show, and it's not like PG-13 rated. Like it's an R-rated show, so they go full out with like cursing and you know, funny like sex jokes and stuff like that.
You kind of have to.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that was fun to watch because obviously as somebody who loves going to conventions and stuff and just, you know, being a fan of Firefly and Serenity.
It's funny because it's true.
It's funny because it's true. Yeah. And the only other thing that I have is Runaways.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk that yet. Runaways started on Hulu.
So yes.
We both watched the first episode. What did you think? Yep.
Before I get to it, in the words of Mike Batchelor, the thing is my sign up for Hulu was for Runaways.
You cut up. You cut out that last part. You there?
Oh, the things you do for the show, quoting Mike Batchelor.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry. All right. Yeah.
3, 2, 1, and go back in.
All right. So the things you do for the show, to quote Mike Batchelor, I signed up for Hulu primarily because of Runaways. Obviously, there's a whole library of shows that I will definitely watch on Hulu, but Runaways was the number one priority. So I watched the first episode. I'd never read the comic. I know it's pretty popular.
You would love the comic.
Yeah.
I know your sensibilities. You would love that comic.
Yeah, I feel like I should pick it up. I mean, I'll definitely get it in trades.
We'll see if Anonymous Comic Book Guy can hook you up.
Great. So yeah, basically it just focuses on this group of high school students that, you know, I guess at one point they were friends because their parents had like weekly meetings or stuff like that. And then they kind of fell apart because the sister of one of the characters that died. And so basically one fateful night, the kids all get back together again and they kind of, you know, they kind of diss each other for other reasons.
It's a very Breakfast Club type group.
Yeah.
So it's got a very, the brainy jock, which is weird.
Yeah.
It's the jock who can design robots.
So Cyborg. All right, cool. Yeah, the brainy jock, the like religious girl, like the nut.
The Scientologist. That is so Scientology.
This is
religion.
True.
That, yeah. That isn't Scientology, but the light.
Yeah.
And
then just kind of like the rebel girl.
The goth chick.
And then the kind of like the main dude, like the, you know, the nerdy one.
Yeah.
But what I... You know, what I noticed, this is such a stupid, you know, trivial comment, but what I noticed is like all these kids, they live in these fucking luxurious houses.
Yes. Because it's set in Southern California.
Yeah. So they get out together one night and then they find themselves in the basement of the main dude's house. Because
their parents are having a meeting for like what they say is this charity foundation called the Pride.
Yeah, they're having a Scientology meeting.
Yes.
And they see that what I'm assuming from what I saw in the episode near its end is that they killed somebody.
Yes. It's a cult.
Yeah, so they killed somebody, and, you know, the episode cuts to black, and that's what happens. So that's all I have right now. But no, I liked it. I thought I looked at some of the comic. I think that they did a great job casting some of the characters based on visual alone. Mm-hmm. I don't hate any of the teenagers. I think they tried to make it a little bit broody and, you know, oh, woe is me and shit like that. But I feel like that's high school. Yeah. That's just a normal thing.
There is some subtle changes from the book. Molly isn't that old in the book, and she doesn't live with Gertie, the girl with the colored hair.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, Spike. Chase isn't that much of a jock, but everybody else is pretty dead on.
Yeah. Spike from Buffy / yes. Angel shows up with a surprising American accent.
Yes. He plays Chase's dad on the show.
Yeah.
So Molly, when she gets the super strength, and she is in the books, she's a mutant. I don't know what they're going to do on the TV because of the whole fucking Fox thing. So
yeah,
let's see how they change that.
Crazy. All these little terminologies that we can't use in other Marvel TV shows. Mm-hmm. But no, I liked it. I mean, I will definitely check out the second and third episode. It got me, and per your request or your recommendation, I'll definitely try to check out the comic. It'll be something that it seemed, and I think Law said it too when we first started, you know, with me on the podcast, is that I would like it.
Yeah. Joss Whedon had a really good run on that book too.
And it's still going?
Yeah, they just relaunched it because, well, obviously there's a TV show now, so they brought it back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool.
Yeah, it was good stuff. What do you think?
Awesome. I really liked it as well. I am definitely going to be in because I think it's going to be like 10 to 12 episodes because it is like a Netflix show. I think that's like the standard for any of these digital shows.
But they didn't drop them all at once, right? There's only three.
No, they dropped the first three, and then it's weekly after that on Hulu.
Cool. Yeah, that'll be easier to break it down then. Because once they drop all these shows at one, like the full series at one time, it's just like you feel like you have to watch all of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on that note, let's wrap this issue of Small Screen Heroes up. What did you think of the stuff we talked about this week? Did you like the DC crossover? Did you like Justice League? Are you excited for more Watchmen in the comics? Let us know. Send us a message. Leave a voicemail on the Binge voicemail line. Us email at bingemedia.net/email. And we'll definitely talk more and more in the months to come on this show. So many shows, so much to read. Logan and I are only two people. We can only do so much.
Yeah.
We definitely want to hear from you guys and definitely make this show a little bit more interactive than it has been in the past. So until next time, I am Batch.
I'm Logan.
And read a goddamn book.
Yeah, check.
That too. Boom. Okay.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at bingemedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at bingemedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of soup.
Bob Odenkirk.